Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A verse in the prologue to the Gospel of John gives us these beautiful words: "For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace." It should be clear to us now in this Advent and Christmas series that in Christ we receive many, many gifts. They're not the kind of gifts that we might exchange, return, or discard because they don't last. They're also not the kind of gifts that we forget about after we have given them or even have received them. For example, can you remember what you received for Christmas 5 years ago? Can you remember the gifts that you gave people last Christmas? Can you remember what you're giving everyone this Christmas? That's probably the better one to ask. You really need to rack your brain to remember these gifts, don't you? But in Christ, we've all received grace upon grace upon grace. These gifts that we are given in Him by His grace, they last. And boy, do they last. And it's the same with the gift of life that Jesus gives us today. It lasts. And as we talk about life this morning, I find it helpful to see how we understand, view, and even find life, for the contrast helps us to see and understand God's gift of life that much clearer and greater. As humans, we can try to find life in a variety of things. For one, we can try to find life in the approval of others. We might think that once I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm cool, or I'm needed, then I'll really be living. But we can also try to find life in possessions or in material things. We can chase things like money, vacations, experiences, the nice and new cars, or those high-tech gadgets, and hope to find fulfillment and satisfaction in them. And when we don't have these things, or when we feel that we are lacking, we can feel that we're just not really living. But another place that we can try to find life, though, can be in our status. We might want that certain relationship status, whether it's being a grandmother or a husband. We might want that special job with the raise and promotion that comes with the corner office on the 10th floor and that skyscraper in downtown St. Paul. We might want good health or our dream body. And when we get these things, if we ever do, we think, now I'm living the dream, I'm living the life. But all of these things that we try to find life in ultimately impacts our view of it and what we deem the quality of it to be. But these things aren't life, nor do they give life. They're not lasting, they're not dependable, they're not satisfying, and they're ultimately fleeting. This also isn't the gift of life that Christ gives us as well. The life that He gives is different. It's enduring, it's real, it's satisfying, it's needed, it's new, it's lasting, it's eternal. It's in Him. In Romans 6, Paul calls the life that God gives us in Christ as eternal life. Life itself is a precious gift, but also a fragile one at that. Every living thing has been given life by God. He's given life to the little ant, to the plant, to the cow, and human being. It's been that way since the beginning of creation, and will continue on to this day. God's not just a creator, He's also a life giver. But in a fallen world infected with sin, though, anything, especially life, is eternal or lasting. In fact, life can be rather fleeting or unfulfilling. With the onset of winter in many parts of the world, the reality of death is really all around us. The life God gives to every one of His creations only lasts a short time in the grand scheme of things. American poet Robert Frost put it in this way. He says, "Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief, So dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay. Somehow fitting that Christmas should come at the darkest time of the year in its season of dying. Experience reminds us why Jesus came. As hard as a tree may strive to hold on to its leaves, death will have its way and its leaves will fall to the ground. As perseverant as the old family dog may be, death will unfortunately have its way. As hard as an old soul struggles to stay a while longer with family and friends, the breath of life received from God is exhaled one last time, and Eden's grief becomes ours again. We sometimes forget what Jesus was up against. It wasn't just sin, but the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death, the apostle tells us in Romans 6. Old souls and young ones die because sin takes them there. And it wasn't just death that he faced either, but the devil who holds the power of death over our lives. Hebrews chapter 2 puts it this way. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Death was our Lord's ultimate enemy. So an eighth grader in Bible study once asked this insightful question. He said, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't someone else have died instead? Why did he have to do it? Why couldn't he have just gotten like a bad headache or something? The answer? Jesus had to die because the only way he could conquer death was to go headlong into it and then to come back to life again victoriously. Our Lord laid down his life for us and took it back up again so we could have life and have it to the fullest. So if someone had asked Jesus why he had been sent by the Father, if someone asked him, what's your personal mission statement? This is what he would say. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Mary's baby, God's own son, grew up to defeat death single-handedly. Destined for a cross from the fallen Eden, he came, he died, he rose, and he conquered. The result? Eternal life for all who believe in him. Victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. As you open your Christmas gifts tonight, tomorrow, and even later this week, your heart will no doubt soar as you get just what you wanted or just what you needed. But if you can pause just for a moment, though, and focus on the little one in the manger, you will see the greatest gift that we've all been given is the one that our Lord gives you and me, the gift of eternal life, the gift of Christ. Then with joy and gratitude, you can fill an old Hebrew phrase with enough meaning for eternity. L'chaim, to life, to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.